Hello, Flash fanatics, and welcome to Back in a Flash. We're your hosts, Steve
and Meg, and this podcast will be talking about all things The Flash, past, present, and future.
And those times are relative to the Speed Force, so who knows?
Well, welcome back, everybody, to Back in a Flash. We're really, really excited because we have so much to talk to you guys about. We actually were going to take a week off, but we decided just because there is so much happening and being revealed right now that we had to get in the studio and talk to you guys. So we're going to talk about the first few episodes because they've released some really like interesting character news and casting news and all kinds of really neat stuff for both The Flash and I guess a little bit about The Arrow too, because there's going to be a couple crossovers there. So do you want to just kind of get into it?
Sure.
Yeah. Let's dive right in.
Okay.
Cool.
All right. So the first thing we know about The Flash is we got a big casting announcement in the form of Robbie Amell. Stephen Amell's cousin is going to be on The Flash playing Firestorm.
Yes. Who is going to be Caitlin's fiance, right?
Right. And the backstory that we got for him.
But he's just half a Firestorm, right? He's not actually Firestorm.
Right. Yeah, he's half a Firestorm. The other half is Professor Stein, who they haven't announced any sort of casting for at all. And we really don't know at this point if we're even going to actually see Firestorm or not. It could be that...
Not Firestorm, just... but the doctor portion of him, right?
Well,
we're going to see Firestorm. What? Why would they cast him if they weren't going to actually show Firestorm?
They cast him as Ronnie Raymond.
Okay.
But without Professor Stein there as well, he can't be Firestorm.
Right, but I mean, would they really cast a Ronnie Raymond without the possibility of him being Firestorm?
I would expect the intention is to make him Firestorm at some point in the season.
Okay, so who in your mind are you envisioning to be the...
To be Professor Stein?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I don't know. I haven't even thought about it.
No?
I really haven't. Do you have any sort of idea?
No, I really don't know much about Firestorm or Professor Stein, actually, right.
Professor Stein is going to be an older character. Like, he's a university professor, but I don't really know many, like, older actors that aren't movie actors. You know, I don't know many older TV actors. Although William Shatner has been on Twitter and William Shatner is a big fan of the CW network and the shows that they put out. Yeah.
That's so interesting.
Super big fan. He's constantly like getting into little Twitter conversations with the stars of these shows, and he tried to help promote The Tomorrow People, Robbie Amell's previous show, the show that he did last year.
Right, right.
He was really excited about that and worked to try and promote that to get it renewed for a second season. And he posted a picture, a Photoshop picture of himself with a green mask, like Arrow's mask, and he was like in a pose of holding a bow.
Really?
Yeah.
Shut up. I'll have to... Oh my gosh, this sounds hilarious.
No, it was really fun. So my response to that was, I hear they're looking for Professor Stein. So...
Yes!
If Shatner wants to do a CW show...
Oh my gosh, that would be so awesome.
You know, that'd
be hilarious.
Cool. It would be. I mean, he is very funny.
Do you think that he would fit that character?
I don't know. He might be a little too goofy. I mean, Professor Stein's kind of a... pretty straight-laced professor.
Oh, really?
So I don't know. I think he'd be all right.
Yeah.
But I feel like that would be quite a lot of star power to have on the show.
Yeah. They've already cast quite a few different stars. So, I mean, he would really...
That might be a bit overwhelming.
Yeah. He would really shine forward in that. But
right.
He would be awesome. No, yeah. Honestly, I don't have any ideas of who should play that character. But that would be... That would be so amazing, just because he's such a phenomenal actor.
Well, you heard it here first, right? William Shatner playing Professor Stein.
Yeah, we can only hope, right?
No. It would be pretty wild, but I think he'd probably be too large of a name really.
He might, though. I mean, if he's such a follower of CW, I mean, it's not completely off base, right?
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, he could do whatever he wants, I guess, at this point.
Sure, but... right? Because he really doesn't have to do anything. He can just, like you said, do whatever he wants.
Who knows? Who knows?
So what else did we hear about? So they've cast Firestorm.
Right.
Well,
Ronnie Raymond.
What is it? Ronnie Raymond.
That's okay. Fair. Yeah. He's half of Firestorm.
Right.
Paired with Professor Stein. And then on Arrow, we also got our announcement of the recurring guest for Arrow. And we're going to talk about it because there's potential for crossovers in these shows. So we'll talk about some Arrow stuff a little bit.
No, there's not a potential. I mean, we know about a crossover, actually.
True. True enough.
Like, they've announced that, what'd they say in season...
Episode 8 of the two shows they announced at the Television Critics Association panel that episode 8 was going to be a crossover, so...
And you brought up a really valid point earlier when we were talking about this, that you think... that that's probably going to be some sort of villainous crossover instead of it just being a cameo of those characters on each other's show, which I completely agree with you. I think that that's probably pretty accurate.
Yeah, I think that unless it's like a shared villain or a shared like theme,
mm-hmm.
that it hardly counts as a true like crossover event. It's just guest starring on one of the shows at that point. So I think that there's probably going to be villains crossing over with one another's shows,
which will be cool because The Flash airs on Tuesday night and then Arrow doesn't air until Wednesday night,
right?
So it'll be kind of cool to have like those cliffhangers, as much as we would hate them, because mm-hmm. I know that I'll be like, no, why?
Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, it would be so good to have that I mean, just that crossover.
Well, you get a cliffhanger, and then the next day it gets resolved.
Instead of waiting a whole week. Yeah.
It's just a day long. Right.
Cliffhanger. That would be perfect for sure.
So that's cool. But, so The Flash will start whatever this crossover event is, and then Arrow will finish it. But the producers have also said that they've written these episodes in a way that if you only watch one of the shows, you'll still be able to enjoy it, and it won't be like there's a piece missing.
Oh, cool. So they'll have some sort of like recap from the other stuff. They're going to have to, sort of.
I would expect there'll be some sort of recap of...
Maybe
like,
that means that there really is going to be a cameo, though, instead of having the villain go from one to the other, because that would be hard to...
Right. Then how do you wrap it up?
Yeah.
And have it stay like... in a consistent storyline so that you don't have to watch both of them. I guess my thought is that they could both end with a cliffhanger, and then you could have that villain be wrapped up individually on each of their shows as well. Or maybe it's multiple villains teaming up.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's a possibility as well. They've got quite a rogues gallery that they've established, and we know about several rogues that are going to be on The Flash already. So it's quite possible that it'll be multiple villains. We really don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I guess anything is possible.
Right.
Really, but I don't know.
It should be a really fun event regardless.
Yeah, I just like the fact that they have already... Because that was something that I was looking forward to was the crossovers. I was, like, hoping for that. So I'm really, really stoked at the fact that they've, like, already announced, like, hey, we're going to have crossovers. I'm like...
In the first half of the season.
Yeah.
And honestly, it wouldn't surprise me at all. Like... It wouldn't surprise me if the finale of the seasons is another crossover event. They haven't announced it at all. But that's like the big climax to the season. Or maybe like the penultimate episodes of the season or you know, something in the back half. If we're getting episode 8 as a crossover, I would kind of guess that there will be another crossover in the back half.
I don't know about the season finale, just because I think that would be really hard to do a season finale.
Yeah, might draw attention away from the individual shows a bit much.
Yeah, and I mean, like, I'm pretty sure they want to keep them like independent shows, obviously. Right. Like, they don't want to do too much, but more than one episode for sure. There has to be some sort of crossover, because we've already sort of seen it, you know, with just the setup of both of these shows. So mm-hmm. I think that... for sure. But we also get to see Felicity cross over a little bit, right?
Yeah. Felicity, we've gotten way off topic. I was going to talk about the guest, the recurring guest on Arrow. Anyways, we'll get back to that.
Yes.
Felicity is going to be in episode 4 of The Flash. She's going to be... The episode is actually, we have a title. It's called Going Rogue.
Mm.
And it's also going to feature Captain Cold, played by Wentworth Miller.
Who was in Prison Break.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like him. I haven't seen Prison Break, but...
Me neither, but I've heard lots of good things about it.
Yeah.
And about him specifically, that he really brings a lot of like intensity to the roles that he plays.
Yeah.
Which is really, I was going to say cool.
But I think that would be too obvious of a pun.
Which is really awesome.
Oh, you. Mm. Yeah, he's going to play Captain Cold, which is really exciting because I actually, from what you have told me about that character, from the very little that we have seen of him in the comic book series, mm-hmm. he seems like a pretty, like, legit cool character. I mean, not cool. Cool.
It's hard to, it's hard really to not, right?
It's really, it's impossible to not call him cool, yes. But I'm looking forward to seeing that character come to life on the TV screen. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, Wentworth Miller, he seems really like a phenomenal actor to portray that role. I think I can't wait.
Yeah. I'll be interested to see what they do costuming wise with him. And
what are you thinking?
Well, I mean, they've done like a sleeveless hoodie type thing in the New 52 that looks really sharp.
Mm-hmm.
And prior to the New 52, he had like a really big parka, which is just a little parka. Bit. It's just a little bit bulky. I'm not sure that it'd work out too well.
It's not
TV.
Completely realistic for like everyday wear either. Like you wouldn't really see somebody walking around Kansas City with a parka on in the middle of the year.
Right. But like a white sleeveless hoodie.
I mean,
sleeveless hoodie isn't really regular either.
But
you can call it a costume and get away with a bit more.
I would disagree with you on that because I wear sleeveless hoodies. But I may be a general exception to that rule.
I like the sleeves to be still connected.
Makes sense, for sure.
I prefer them still on my hoodie.
I guess that makes sense, yes. I could understand that.
So he'll be on there. I'm really interested to see what they do with the costuming. I think it'd be really cool to see some sort of like sleeveless hoodie type thing like they've done in the New 52.
It would seem much more natural,
with, like,
for sure.
Some light blue trim on it is what they've got there, and it looks really sharp, and I think it could look really cool, especially... if it has like special effects that fit it, you know, if he's like tossing around snow and whatnot, that makes the white hoodie kind of blend in a little bit more and seem more fitting.
Do you think that he and Felicity are going to be intertwined? Don't they have some sort of...
I mean, they're in the episode, but there hasn't been any sort of announcement about them being intertwined, and I kind of doubt they will be.
Well, I mean, if they're going to appear in the same episode, I don't know if they're going to be necessarily like directly correlated, but I feel like she's probably going to get into some sort of trouble with him or
it's
something.
Possible. Yeah.
Because otherwise, why would they have them appear in the same episode?
Yeah, it's possible that she gets put into a damsel in distress type situation.
And the Flash has to rescue her.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, as always, because it seems like Felicity can't keep herself out of trouble, but whatever.
She needs to learn some self-defense stuff.
Absolutely. I don't know why the Arrow hasn't trained her yet.
I think they've done like a couple really small scenes where like she was training with Diggle once.
Once.
And then it was like, we're done now.
She's had
her 5-second training montage.
Right. Completely trained. Go. Right. Go out and fight the bad guys.
The producers promised a Felicity backstory in season 3 of Arrow as well. That's just a side note.
That's cool. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I really like Felicity, so I would be very pleased to see more of her.
Yeah, they've been teasing it
for
a while.
In any capacity, really.
Yeah, they've been teasing a backstory for a while, and they finally said, we're going to do it. Like, it's happening this season, in the front half of season 3 of Arrow. We're going to see some Felicity backstory, so that's cool.
Cool, yeah.
But I suppose we're talking about Arrow. We could now talk about the recurring guest that's been cast. This is my favorite bit of casting news, just because I'm a fanboy.
Really?
No reason whatsoever otherwise.
Okay,
but,
go ahead.
But,
fanboy it out. Let's hear it.
So they've cast Ray Palmer, a.k.a. the Atom, from DC Comics. He's like he shrinks down to miniature, right?
Right.
Little itty bitty guy, subatomic size.
In other various sizes, right?
Right. Yeah. He can shrink down to whatever size he wants.
You had to explain this to me earlier. I actually don't know anything about this character. But
yeah.
You were telling me that he goes to a variety of sizes.
Yeah. He can go to whatever size smaller than himself.
Which will be really interesting to see, in my opinion, what they do with that.
Yeah.
Because they're. Is so many possibilities.
There really are. There really are. And I feel like it lends itself well to a TV budget. Like, I don't think it would take a massive budget to do a shrinking man type thing.
Well, you know, look at Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Come on.
Right.
Like, right. No. Not
and
a huge budget.
That was a long time ago.
Right.
You should be able to do it now on a TV budget without too much difficulty.
Absolutely.
But anyways.
So what are you so excited about it?
Casting. David Rappaport casting chose Brandon Routh to play Ray Palmer. Brandon Routh, if you're not familiar...
I am not. Do go on.
...played Clark Kent / Superman in Superman Returns back in 2006 or 7. One of them. I don't remember which
year. Oh, okay.
But, yeah.
Cool.
In Superman Returns, he played... Clark Kent / Superman.
That'll be really interesting.
So, and he hasn't done anything really with the DC Universe since. I think he did like voice acting once or twice, but hasn't really been brought in again. But he's going to be now. He's going to be brought in to play Ray Palmer. And
voice acting for what?
Oh, some of like the Justice League animated stuff.
Oh, cool. Done. So he's still kind of like continued on in the same venue
I wouldn't say so.
Oh, really?
He's shown up like he did a guest voice acting in like an episode or two.
Gotcha.
It wasn't a regular thing by any means.
Okay, so I read somewhere that the Atom cannot fly like Superman, but he can simulate flight like Wonder Woman.
Hmm.
Kind of trying to figure out that difference, I guess, if you could explain that to me, because I don't understand.
I don't know. I mean,
how are the two different?
My guess is that, well, I know with like Wonder Woman, they say that she simulates flight because she gets in her invisible jet and flies off. But the Atom doesn't have an invisible jet, so I'm not sure what they mean by simulating flight. But what I think would be cooler than seeing the Atom fly would be seeing him like latch onto a bird and let the bird fly him somewhere.
Oh, really?
Yeah, wouldn't that be cool?
Like Lord of the Rings style?
Sure.
That would be super sweet.
Or even like reaching out and like bending the bird's wings to direct where he goes.
Oh, cool.
That'd be neat.
Yeah.
I think they've done some stuff similar to that in the comics.
I mean, I guess if he can shrink himself, he could probably hop on anything that could fly and just like catch a ride or whatever.
Right.
Maybe whisper in like a goose's ear, hey, can you fly me over here? You know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he doesn't have any sort of animal control powers like Aquaman. But yeah, it'd be neat.
Who knows?
And I think
in this world, maybe he can talk to animals.
Cool.
Who knows?
Who knows?
So, but he's a scientist, right?
He is.
So that's how he has his powers of...
Yeah, he developed some sort of technology. I don't remember what.
So he could develop all kinds of technology to simulate flight then. You know? So,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, he could have a rocket pack. Why not?
Or maybe like a tiny little toy helicopter that he like hops in and flies around.
Maybe he'll just turn himself into Inspector Gadget.
Go Gadget copter hat.
But he's gonna be the new the new CEO of Queen Industries on Arrow, actually. And
that'll be an interesting dichotomy.
Yeah, and they're billing him as a potential love interest for Felicity as well. So setting up another love triangle between...
Well, you know how much the CW loves those love triangles.
Right.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm interested to see him.
But between... So they've got Ray Palmer slash the Atom. I mean, again, I think that it's fairly safe to assume if he's going to be a series regular that we'll probably see him get his powers as the Atom at some point. I don't think he'll just be Ray Palmer scientist. I think that he'll have his powers at some point in the show. It's just kind of a matter of when.
Yeah.
Right?
Kind of like how they did the whole reveal with like Deathstroke or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Same thing for Firestorm. So you've got the Atom that's going to be on Arrow and Firestorm that's going to be on the Flash. So we've got four different Justice League type characters.
But you forgot. We have also another character.
Who?
That we should... Well, maybe not the Justice League character, but we have another character that they have announced is going to be part of this.
Oh.
The Pied Piper.
Right. That's coming later, though. But that's not a Justice League character.
I know.
He's a villain.
But there's so many characters that they've announced recently. Like, I'm just...
It's overwhelming.
So pumped about this because there are... They've just been giving us one thing after another.
Yeah.
And I cannot, like, eat it up fast enough.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
And who knows what we're going to get at San Diego Comic-Con this weekend, too.
Like, yeah.
They've got...
We may have to do another podcast after that.
We may have to.
We'll play it by ear, but if there's a bunch of new announcements at Comic-Con as well.
We'll probably do another one.
Yeah.
I would guess so.
But I did hear... Okay, so back to the Pied Piper, because I'm kind of excited about this, because he's supposed to be an LGBT character,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is phenomenal. He is in the comics, like he said, yeah. But I think that it's awesome that they're keeping that continuity with the television show, because just like they have, like, Iris and her dad, you know, playing different characters other than just like white men, you know, basically that have dominated these comic books. They're actually like showing us the world as it is.
Yeah.
And they're keeping
showing some diversity in it. And it's really neat. It's really cool.
So I'm excited not only to see the Pied Piper in general, because I think that his costume is going to rock, but just that they're going to portray him. You know, keep him portrayed as an LGBTQ character.
Definitely. And hopefully they don't, like, ham that up a whole lot.
No, I mean, it should be.
I think it'll just be another character, and that's just part of who he is.
They don't need to, like, make it a big deal, I don't think, because it is such a natural part of society.
Right.
Like, but I think that because of previous shows, I mean, the CW is pretty good about diversifying their characters within the show. Like, they have sort of always been, not always, but within the last couple of years, they've definitely been on the cusp of that. So I just think it's, like, really good of them to introduce this Pied Piper character.
Definitely. And Captain Singh as well, who was in the pilot trailer or in the trailer that we got, he's going to be, I think, a regular or at least a recurring guest on the show, Barry's boss. In the comics, he's gay as well.
Cool.
And one of the producers, I think Greg Berlanti, said that they're going to carry that into the show.
Awesome.
And it's just something that they haven't dealt with at this point. Like he said, you know, they're scripting out the first half of the season right now. And he said, well, we haven't really dealt with it, but that's who he is in the comics, and that's who he'll be on the show. Whenever we get around to dealing with
his story.
Right.
Because we really only got to see like a glimpse of him so far.
Right.
But when they delve deeper into that character.
Yeah. Whenever that happens, if that ever happens, that will be part of who he is.
Cool.
Which is, it's really neat.
Yeah.
Rather than having these big, you know, throwing him out there as being the gay character to generate publicity for that, they're just letting them
That's nice that they're keeping it consistent, too. I mean, it seems like these writers and directors are huge fans of the comic books. I know you've mentioned that before, that they are, like, really into it. And, I mean, it shows with just the characters that they've been selecting and the casting and everything. It's really cool.
Well, and the producers are actually going to be taking over the Green Arrow comics this fall.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, one of the producers and one of the writers of Arrow are going to take over writing the Green Arrow comic this fall. So that should be fun as well. And then they're also doing...
That's what I was about to say. Like, aren't they also aren't they also releasing some, like, a comic book series in...
Yeah, they're doing
What's the word I'm looking for?
Well, they're doing a digital first comic with both Arrow and The Flash that are going to be directly tied to the TV
show.
Yeah,
directly tied. Okay, yeah.
Whereas the like Green Arrow proper comic, I don't think is necessarily going to be directly tied to the show's continuity. But the I forget which producer is writing it, but he said that Felicity is going to be introduced to the Green Arrow comics, which is neat. Diggle's been introduced fairly recently, by Jeff Lemire in the Green Arrow comics, and now they'll have Felicity there as well. So that title is really looking more and more like the Arrow TV show every day as it kind of moves around creatively. And yeah, he said that Felicity is going to be in that comic, but I don't think that it's necessarily beholden to the TV show's continuity.
Really?
I think it's part of the DC Universe comic, like the comic universe proper, rather than the TV universe that they're setting up here.
Interesting.
But the digital first one, the like Arrow title.
Oh, okay. I thought that's what you were talking about.
No.
No, so the regular comic is
Green
not...
Green Arrow versus Arrow.
Gotcha. Okay.
The Green Arrow one will be part of the DC comic continuity.
Right.
And the Arrow comic, the digital first one, will be part of the TV continuity. And they're actually going to be alternating. Like, every other week, it's going to be either Arrow or Flash digitally. And they're trying to do stuff where they can introduce guest stars in the comic before they show up on the show.
Awesome.
So there's going to be nice little like preview things.
Easter eggs
there.
And sneak peeks and all kinds of fantastic things.
If you're into reading the comics, it's pretty neat.
They did a
Arrow tie-in comic during season one that was actually really good. It was the same type of deal. It was a digital first one. And then they collected it and it was a fun book. And they did some of that same type of stuff, and they gave a lot of, like, extra backstory for the Huntress character, if you remember her from season one and a little bit of season two of
Arrow. Did she show up, and she was friends with, she was the one who was trying to recruit, what's her name? The Canary?
Oh.
Back to...
Well, I think you're thinking of Nissa Al Ghul, probably. Though Helena Bertinelli did do some stuff with Sarah as well, but Helena Bertinelli is Huntress, and she's the one whose boyfriend was killed by her dad, and she was on the quest quest for vengeance and trying to kill her dad. And
Stephen Amell tried to stop her, okay.
That whole deal. So they gave a lot of backstory to her in those digital first comics that was really nice, and it kind of helped to flesh out the character so that when you watched the episode it had more to it, and it helped bring the character to life even more and give a bit more meaning and backstory behind what was happening.
Right on. We'll definitely have to keep up on those because I'm interested. Like, I like the backstory, so that's so cool.
Yeah, it's fun. And you know, more crossover stuff can happen there because there's a lot less they have to worry about logistically with, like, managing actors' schedules and doing various special effects. You know, if they want to make Firestorm turn into Firestorm on a TV show, they've got to go through all of the special effects to make him be Firestorm.
Right.
But if they want to do it in the comics, it's just a matter of drawing it. differently. It's just not
which you make sound so easy, but I'm sure is like incredibly hard.
Right. Drawing is an incredibly impressive talent, which I don't have.
Right. But, very few people have that kind of talent, I feel.
But if you're going to draw, I feel like there's probably not a huge difference between drawing Ronnie Raymond and drawing Firestorm. Like, you're drawing a person.
Right.
Either way.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, I would feel like Firestorm would be the simpler one, because when you're looking at a person, there's a lot more precision that I feel has to go into it to be clear in the message, to say, this is this character, you know, by these features. They have this shape of eyes, this shape of chin.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you have this very specific costume on a character, you can say, oh yeah, it's Firestorm. Because he's wearing the Firestorm costume. Duh.
Duh.
And so yeah. You don't
I mean,
have
I can
to...
see that, but I think that is probably still the same difficulty because you have to make the costume precise as
right.
well.
Right.
Like, you can't, like, arbitrarily just, like,
yeah, you
draw
can't
random
just,
things
you
on
can't
there.
You can't just slack off and do nothing.
Right.
But the difference in effort, I think, is hugely less than trying to do it on TV.
Sure.
Whereas, you know, on TV, it's... point a camera at Robbie Amell and you've got Ronnie Raymond.
Yeah.
But if you want to do Firestorm, it's point a camera at Robbie Amell and then send it to post for, you know, weeks of editing work as they give him the flame hair and all that stuff.
Yes. Maybe. Depending if whether or not they do the flame hair, or maybe they'll give him just like a different costume so that he doesn't.
Maybe.
You know,
I can't imagine that there won't be any sort of special effects on Firestorm when he shows up, though. He's got to have some special effects. And the fire hair is such a, like, iconic part of his costume. It's got to be there.
Yeah, I would agree. But there's a lot of ways for them to do that. You know, they could do it just like a regular costume with, like, crazy...
I suppose.
Plastic hair or something. I don't plastic. Know. You mean not plastic, but you know what I mean. Like, something
just
that
give
looks...
him, like, a fake... plastic candle.
Yes.
Like a big style of that
right,
on his head.
Sticking out like a hat.
That just looks super goofy.
Out of place for sure.
I don't think they'll do that.
No.
I think that it'll be CGI fire on his head if ever they do Firestorm.
What kind of powers does Firestorm have? Like, what does he do? I mean, obviously he has got some sort of firepower, but like, what does he do?
He can like change the atomical structure of different elements. So he could turn your phone into pure lead.
Oh, he sounds fun.
Right. I mean,
he actually sounds like a total party killer, like a kill buzz, you know?
This is a bad example. Bad example.
He's like, walks in your party, he's like, what's up, guys? And like, turns your stereo into a lump
water.
Of coal. You know, like,
right.
Great.
Stereo's water. Done. No, but it's actually like a super... powerful, like it's a super powerful ability.
Yeah.
In fact, with like some of my other
no,
friends,
I can totally see that.
We've
but...
talked about how like his ability is really like potentially one of the most powerful abilities that you could have.
You think so?
Yeah. It's hugely powerful
because he can transmute things.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that is a pretty super power.
Yeah. It really is.
And is that an innate power for him, or is that something that, like, does he have a tool?
It's part of the Firestorm matrix that was either discovered or invented by Professor Stein.
Okay. I don't know anything about this matrix. I'm interested to find out more about Firestorm and his,
right.
like, story and his powers and everything
right.
like that.
And I hate to get into it too much, because I don't know how much they're actually going to use in the show.
Yeah.
They could alter it. Significantly.
Sure.
We'll have to check it.
We'll have to wait and see, basically. I mean,
right.
I can't wait.
Well, and one last villain announcement that we've also gotten is that Plastique, an explosives villain from the DC universe, is going to be introduced in The Flash in the first half of the season as well.
Yeah. So she's supposed to be like a metahuman that is a redhead. Love
mm-hmm.
redheads, especially, you know. Just because she's supposed to be, like, all into bombs and stuff, which kind of makes sense, right?
I
see the correlation there.
Right.
Anyway, she's a bomb specialist. She was a bomb specialist with the Army before she became Plastique, right?
Yeah.
And that's kind of like where she got her shtick from.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. So she was a bomb specialist in the army, injured by an IED in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And then from the explosion, from the...
Central City explosion.
Yeah,
with the big...
the explosion in mm-hmm. Central City. She got the ability to turn anything she touches into a bomb.
Do you think it's purposeful? Like, you think that she makes it turn into a bomb, like, on her command? Or you think it's just, like, if she touches something, it's a bomb?
I don't know. I mean, it could be a really, like, tragic story if it's not something that she controls.
I kind of like tragic characters every once in a while, though.
Yeah, it could be really neat. I kind of doubt that that's what'll happen, but maybe. That'd be interesting, I think.
So has she shown up very much in the Flash comic books? Like, do you have any kind of backstory or history that you could tell me about her other than that she was, you know, like an army specialist?
I really don't.
No.
And I don't even know that that's her backstory in the comics.
Okay.
I think that might be
cool.
New for this. She's not a a major character by any means.
Yeah. But that kind of makes it more exciting and fun, I think, you know?
It does. It gives some freshness to it and somewhere new that they can go without having to, like, disrupt continuity or
upset people or whatever. Yeah.
Upset people. Yeah.
Cool.
So.
Well, that'll be really interesting. I'm really looking forward to that character just because of my history with being in the military and stuff like mm-hmm. that. Like, I'm excited to see an army soldier that's mm-hmm. like, I mean, obviously if she's been blown up by an IED, she's probably gonna have some sort of PTSD and stuff like that, and it's just more diversification. Like, that's the world we live in right now, so that's super cool.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully they do a really good job and show some of that, like the PTSD, like you were talking about, and really, like, flesh your character out.
Yeah.
Because it could go the other way, where they just say, like, oh, she's bitter, she was hurt in Iraq, and now she's got the ability to turn everything into bombs, so she's evil.
So she's evil. Done. Case closed.
Right.
Let's kill her.
It would be really cool to see, like, a tragic character that is already dealing with PTSD from being injured by an explosive in Iraq,
mm-hmm.
and then getting this ability
from another explosion,
where she's constantly being surrounded by explosions from whatever she touches. That could be really interesting and cool. I could see that being a neat story, but I don't know what direction they'll take it in. We'll just have to wait and see with that as well.
Right. There's a lot of stuff that I cannot wait to actually have, like, revealed to me. I cannot express to you how well, like, the CW and these show directors have done teasing all of this stuff to us. I mean, they release all this information so that we are, like, so amped about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's really not fair. It's not. It's really not fair.
Only a couple more months.
A couple more months.
October 8th, right?
7th.
7th, right. 8th is Arrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So October 7th will be the pilot episode.
Yeah. Best birthday gift ever. For sure. So I think that we've covered all of the character reveals, right?
I think so. All of the big stuff that we've learned in the past few days here.
Which has been so much, though.
It has been. It really has. And some of this was catch up. We did take 1 week off.
Right.
But we're back.
And there might be still more to come with
Comic-Con
just right around the corner.
Honestly, I would be really surprised if we don't get at least a few more big announcements from Comic-Con.
Yeah.
And I don't know if those will be, like, casting announcements or if they'll be costume reveals. Oh, that was another one. Did you see just today? Roy's costume for season 3 of Arrow was revealed.
No,
because he's gonna be playing Arsenal, so he's got a really cool, like, red hoodie getup, but it's actually a costume rather than just a red hoodie,
right,
like he's been wearing.
So he's not gonna be like Speedy or whomever we kind of thought that he was going to turn out to be, like Arrow's sidekick.
He's jumping straight past that. So in the comics, like the Roy Harper character was Speedy, and then he was Red Arrow, and then he was Arsenal.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just jumping over the like Speedy and the Red Arrow
intermediate parts.
Yeah, and going straight into him being Arsenal, which makes a lot of sense, really.
Does Arsenal have... does he have a bigger arsenal?
I think so. I think he uses a little bit wider variety of weapons, whereas Green Arrow just kind of sticks with the bow and arrow.
Right.
But that's not, like, the hook of
that's
the character.
That's not his shtick. Oh,
no,
okay.
No. Mostly, I guess, whenever I've seen him in the comics, he's really just, like, an angrier version of Green Arrow.
He's already an angrier version of Green Arrow.
Well, but he was angry in this season because of the Mirakuru.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's not really that angry of a character.
I feel like Roy has always been really angry.
You think so?
Yes. Like, the only time he's not angry is when he's making out with the Arrow's little sister.
With Thea.
With
right.
Thea.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I feel like he's just mad all the time.
Mad at the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because everybody's trying to beat him up and stuff, but
yeah,
that'll be cool. No, I didn't see his costume. What did it look like?
It was like a red hoodie, and there was lots of like cross lattice like leather down the sides.
Ooh,
yeah,
getting saucy.
Mm-hmm.
Leather,
yeah,
red leather.
Most of it was red leather,
ooh.
And then there was like some black trim.
Oh. Interesting. I'll have to look that up later. I haven't seen that yet.
But... And they showed him. He's got a bow as well, but his is a standard bow. It's not a compound bow, so it's more like Oliver's season one bow than his season two bow.
Oh.
I don't know if you watched the bow difference much.
Well, I don't know that I really noticed it until Stephen Amell himself pointed it out, like,
right.
on Facebook.
On one of his Facebook videos. Yeah.
He was like, I got this sweet new bow.
Compound bow.
Yeah. Yep.
And I don't know if, I don't know if he'll be continuing to use the compound bow in season three or not.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just see.
Yeah.
They haven't said anything at all, but I don't think that the compound bow got much negative backlash. I think that it was fairly well
received.
Is
that not part of the comic books? He doesn't read.
I think that it's probably
comic?
Varied plenty. It's not a set thing in the comics.
Gotcha.
He's
not like straight
arrow.
Up Robin Hood.
I mean,
the time.
If they changed it so that nunchucks were his weapon of choice,
nunchucks. That would be a little bit out of left field, I feel.
Probably get a little bit of backlash.
They would have
from
to change his
purists.
Name at that point because he would no longer
right.
be the Arrow.
Right. The nunchuck. That's what he's going by now.
Like the nunner or something. I don't even know what they would call him. Oh my gosh. How funny. Oh my god.
Yep. So that's all the news we've got so far. There'll probably be plenty more this weekend. So if there is, which again, probably, if there is, we'll be back next week with another episode.
Well, we'll have to be back. I mean, we have to talk about it if there's more stuff revealed.
Right. If there's stuff, we will do an episode.
For sure.
Yeah. But if they don't really have anything new to announce, then there's not much point.
I would find it very surprising if they didn't say anything about these upcomings about The Flash, because it's such a brand new series. Like, they have to talk about it.
Me too.
So
yeah, actually, so they were showing some big like window banners at San Diego Comic-Con today. There were some pictures that were circulating online, and it was a really cool like new image of The Flash, and they had like lightning streaks behind him that looked really sharp. But the thing that caught my attention, because what's the name of our podcast?
Back in a Flash.
Back in a Flash. And on this big window decal that they had set up, they did their little hashtag for social media.
Uh-huh.
And the hashtag was In a Flash.
Oh my gosh. It's like they're speaking directly to us. They only left out one word.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
No, it was fun.
Somebody could so very easily misconstrue that for Back in a Flash and tag us and everything.
Right.
That is so cool. I haven't seen that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's neat. It's just, That was just earlier today, so.
Cool. I can't wait to see what other kind of stuff they come out with and what other stuff that they reveal.
Well, and they've shown a fair bit of, like, swag and whatnot, too. Like, there was a Flash bag that they're going to be distributing, and I talked with my friend that's going out there. Hopefully he can snag one for me. I think it'd be pretty cool.
He better. What's his name? Let's call him out right now. Seriously, what's his name?
Let's not call him out.
Come on!
His name's Chase.
Chase. Bring us back a bag.
Yeah, you need to bring me a Flash swag bag. That needs to happen.
Yes. And if you can grab two, do it.
He already told me, though. He's like, if I get one, you've got first dibs. So
sweet.
If he gets one, I'll have one. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
But I'm not able to make it out to San Diego, unfortunately.
Well, I'm going to go out. I'm going to be out there, but not for Comic-Con.
Right.
I'm going to go out there in a couple of weekends, but... Comic-Con's always sold out. Like, those tickets
instantly
literally sell out faster than anything. I will harass that website until it's like for sale, and it feels like as soon as I refresh it, it's sold out.
Yeah.
It's done.
Yep. Right away.
They need to expand that venue or something and sell more tickets, because there are so many people that want to go and experience the wonders of Comic-Con. Seriously.
Well, I mean, and that's the thing, is that there's lots of other Comic-Cons at this point.
Sure, but the San Diego one is, like, kind of the biggest, most well-known one that they have right now.
Yeah.
I know the New York one is, like, kind of up there as well.
There's lots of them that are getting a lot bigger. New York Comic Con and C2E2 in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess those are the two other, like, really big ones that are standing out to me right now.
Yeah.
But
no, I have heard more about those in the last couple of years. But mm-hmm. You've been hearing about San Diego's Comic-Con for so like 5+ years easily right now, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but it would be really cool if the other ones became as large as the one in San Diego, so that you could have an option of going to one of these and actually get the full experience and not.
I would say pretty safely you get the full con experience at these other ones. You really do. Depending on what you're interested in, at least, I guess.
Right. They don't have quite as many vampires and all the other stuff that they have at San Diego. Like, they have Vampire Diaries and True Blood in past years. I don't know about this year, but they've had a lot of other...
It's expanded out into lots of other things.
Yeah.
For sure. But I would say, you know, if the thing you want out of Comic-Con... is standing in line for 12 hours get into a massive panel in Hall H, then you're not going to get that experience at another convention other than San Diego Comic-Con.
Oh, shots fired.
Zing!
I can understand that for sure, but...
No, I'll take my slightly smaller conventions. And
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree that the other con experiences probably are equally impressive in the comic book venue, but there are other options, which draws bigger crowds, which is kind of what I'm interested in. Not the crowds, but the other stuff as well. I really enjoy the other stuff as well.
Yeah.
So, I guess we'll have to check it out.
Yeah. We'll probably be back next week with some... news, some updates from San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah, we'll be
back in a flash.
Back in a flash.